Message entitled Living to the Glory of God. Want to we'll start off with a word of prayer, and then we'll get going. And I want to pray especially for there's obviously the hurricane going up the East Coast, and Jennifer Jones told me this morning that her mom's been, 17 inches of rain and overnight and flooding everywhere. And so we want to pray for those folks up there, and then also for the shooting at the Oregon campus, as we kind of get going here this morning. So let's just bow and pray together. Heavenly Father, thanks for bringing us here together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your goodness and your grace and your presence here right now. And Lord, we just want to lift up to you those who are going through some hard times right now, especially those on the East Coast in the path of the hurricane with the rain and the winds and the damage and other things that are happening. And so, Lord, we just lift those folks up to you, Lord. As they go through these hard and difficult times, we obviously also lift up to you the families of those who were killed and injured in Oregon at that community college, Lord. And we just pray your sense of peace and comfort, and that the gospel would be truly, in which I believe it is, at work in both those situations. And so, Lord, that you would reveal yourself in a powerful way in people's lives in both those tragedies, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things the Lord's just been working on my heart with recently is just trying to see the world through the eyes of Jesus and with his compassion for those who are hurting and the lost. Jesus says to his disciples in John chapter 4, he's been meeting with the woman at the well in Samaria who is an outcast in the town of Samaria and really a prostitute, and Jesus loves her, and he loves her deeply. And he says to his disciples, who are usually kind of clueless, like oftentimes I find myself clueless, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" And Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Just the thing that Jesus, they're all concerned about, did you get a sandwich, Jesus? Did you get something to eat? And he's going, "I got food that you don't know of. I'm here to seek and to save the lost. Open your eyes. Look around. Look around you." And that's what Peter's going to be telling us to do today. We're to be God's people as God's church in this world. We're to be the people who see this world through the eyes of Jesus and who see the world to want to glorify and point people to the glory of Jesus Christ, who is the one and only Savior, who is the one and only one who can do something about stuff that happens on college campuses with mass murderers. Haven't you been amazed at? I just watched the news. Everybody goes, oh, I wonder why that happened. Oh, it must be the guns. Or it must be that guy was just a madman. No, it's the sinfulness that runs through every single human heart in this world, in which is the reason why Jesus had to come and live a perfectly righteous life before the Father and die the perfect death as the Lamb of God to take away sin from our hearts so that we don't all go out and do stuff that happened on that Oregon campus. We want to put those people in a separate category and they're evil, when we don't understand that same evil runs through every single human heart. And only Jesus can do something about that. And so, one of the things the Lord does in my life, and maybe works in your life in weird ways too, but the Lord has often, quite often in my life, used sickness to slow me down and get me out of my routine, to get me to hear what he's saying, to see events in this world not from the world's perspective or not from my own opinion, but from his perspective, and to get down to what's really important, and that is that people come to repent and they come back to Jesus Christ, their creator, their God, and their hearts are changed and their lives are changed, and they can enjoy him and live for him and worship him as we were created to do forever and ever and ever, and find the soul satisfaction that's only found in Jesus Christ. You get. And so sickness slows me down and gets me out of my routine to get me to hear what God's saying and to refocus my life on him, because it is all about Jesus Christ. All of life is all about Jesus. And if we don't have Jesus at the center, we don't understand what life's about. So refocus my life on him, his kingdom, and his glory. And again, I've come to consider sickness as a means of his grace to me. It gets me to slow down, get me refocused on the chief end of my life, which is to glorify Jesus, enjoying him forever in my everyday life. And that's what Peter's talking about in our text this morning. So I want to help us to see. Peter's saying to us as Jesus' people that in everything we should be living so that God would be glorified through Christ Jesus, our Savior. To him, that's Jesus, alone belong all glory and dominion, that's rulership, reign, forever and ever. Amen. And so I hope this morning that this message will be a means of getting us to refocus on the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, to see him again in fresh ways, to know that he's at work in this world, all around us in people's lives. He's at work in the hurricane. He's at work in the shooting on an Oregon campus, seeking and saving the lost in the midst of those tragedies. He is at work, and he is sovereign, and he is good. So here's the text, 1 Peter 4, 7, and then 10 through 11. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, and I'll skip down to verse 10, as each of you has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So Peter starts off this whole paragraph by talking about the end of all things is at hand. And you know those guys who carry the signs on the streets, and the end is coming, you know. What Peter's talking about, when he says the end, he means the goal of all things, the consummation of all that God's doing in this world is coming to a close. Everything's been put in place because it all centers around the person and work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so Revelation 21, 3 through 5 says, look, this is Jesus speaking, and he's talking about the consummation, the end of all things. What's it going to be? What's the end of all things? Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making everything new. Notice how he says, that's Jesus talking, behold, I'm making everything new. He doesn't say, behold, sometime in the future I'm going to make everything new. He says, I am making right now everything new. That's what Jesus is doing in this world. So he's working in the midst of tragedies, he's working in the midst of pain, and he's bringing people back to God, back to himself. And in that, he's redeeming them and he's making us all new. And we grow in Christ as we come to him, and he continues to make us new. He continues to redeem us. And that's what this age is about. But there's an age that's coming after redemption, is that we're going to be, everything's going to be restored to and recreated by Jesus Christ. Everything. There's going to be a new heavens, and there's going to be a new earth. And it's going to be amazing, because look at that text, if you had it in your mind, Revelation 21. What's going on there? God's dwelling place, God is coming down, and he will dwell with us on earth in with his fullness of his presence. That's what heaven is. Heaven is the fullness of Jesus' presence physically with us on this earth. That's what it is. It isn't some playing a harp on a cloud up in the air. And so Peter says, keep that end in mind. Where's everything going? It's going to this end of the new heavens and the new earth, with Jesus reigning in his kingdom fully as Lord and Savior and treasure of life. And we get to enjoy him forever. So Peter says, in everything, we want to live even right now that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Imagine if the Word of God tells us that there's a day when we will dwell on the earth, new earth, and enjoy a sin-free existence, living fully and abundantly with God in our midst. We will eat, we will play, we will create, we will work, we will celebrate, and we will rest in perfect harmony with God and one another. It will all be good, and it will all be worshiping Jesus together, enjoying him, delighting in him forever and ever and ever. It's not about playing harps. It's about living. It's about life, real life, found only in Jesus' name. But here's what I want you to imagine with me this morning. Imagine if the Church of Jesus Christ, who represents Jesus' kingdom and glory right now in this world, lived in such a way that people living in this dark, decaying, dying world would actually hunger and thirst after the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior King, who is making all things new, because they watch us doing that as the church. That's our witness. Our witness is to the glory of Jesus Christ, who he is, what it means to have him as King and Lord and God over our lives, what it means to walk with him in fellowship every day. So we're worshiping him, and we should be the worshiping people of Jesus with our everyday lives, so that we create taste, that's being salt, and we create light in the midst of the darkness so that people are drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we're supposed to live as Jesus' people in this world, in the everyday, as the church in the everyday. The role of Jesus' church, this is from a book called Saturate, Spreading the Glory of Jesus into Every Aspect of Our Lives. The role of Jesus' church, his set-apart people, is to increasingly bring all of life under his leadership so that he is the center of everything. We are Jesus' people who go to work with him and for him every day. We are Jesus' people who eat with him and for him every day. We are Jesus' people who can party and should party with Jesus and for Jesus every day. That's what it means to glorify him. He wants to fill the city of Great Falls with his joy-filled presence through his people in everything and in every place. That's why the Puritans said that they summed up the whole Bible by saying the chief end of man, the main purpose you and I exist, is to glorify God by enjoying him forever, starting right now. Starting right now. We should be the most joy-filled people on the planet. We should be the people who are partying the most on this planet, because we know Jesus Christ, who is life itself, who is life himself. So Peter is urging the church to do just that. 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or you drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Do it all so that people will see how great and glorious the Lord Jesus Christ is. Do it all so that people will come to love Jesus like you love Jesus. Do it all with joy and delight in the Lord so that they see how amazing Jesus Christ and his grace and his mercy and the gospel is. So Peter's urging the church of his generation, ours, through the Holy Spirit, to be living our everyday lives in light of the reality of the completion of all things by our Lord, who is right now making all things new, starting with us. The reality of judgment is a part of the gospel because it teaches that evil will not have the last word, but will ultimately be destroyed by our Lord Jesus when he returns as judge. But the Bible does not end with the day of judgment. That's the good news. Beyond the purging and the fire of judgment and the destruction of all that is evil and opposed to God's good purpose in salvation through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, there lies a new beginning, the new heavens and the new earth. Everybody wants a new beginning. Any person, I don't care how worldly they are, everybody wants a second chance. Everybody wants a new beginning. That's how we need to be as Jesus' people. We need to tell them there is a new beginning. And it happens by coming to faith, repenting of your sin, and coming to faith in Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can give this sinful, sick, dying, decaying world a new beginning, because he's the Creator God. That's what Peter wants us to understand. As Jesus' alien nation, citizens of heaven on earth, we are called to live in such a way that God is glorified through the Lord Jesus Christ in everything. So what does that look like? In our text this morning, we are commanded to speak to and to serve others in such a way that they see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So that's what we're going to look at here together this morning. So because the end of all things is at hand, how should we live? Peter says, so that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So that he gives us a couple of ways in the text to do that. Okay? Everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And first thing he says is how we do that, how we live to the glory of God in Christ Jesus our Lord in this world, is by speaking the oracles of God. Speaking the oracles of God. Look down to verse 10 in 1 Peter chapter 4, once again. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each has received a gift, each of us as followers of Christ, as believers in Christ, disciples of Jesus Christ, has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who speaks by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So we're going to take the speaking part. So whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God. This is a great thing. So the oracles of God just means sayings, the sayings of God. So Peter's telling us as the church, as believers in Christ, that one of our responsibilities in how we glorify God and Christ in this world is by what we say, how we speak. And we're supposed to be speaking oracles of God in this world. So the Lord, through Peter, is telling us how we are to live as these stewards of grace, ministers of God's grace. And so we want our words to be gospel words, grace-filled words that come from God himself, come from the Word. So notice that each of us, meaning all true believers and disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to our giftedness, all of us are to speak and bear witness to the gospel message of God in Christ Jesus. That's the calling that Jesus puts on your life and mine, to be his witnesses. It's not just for a guy like me who sits up in front of a group like this. It's all of us, and he's talking about not preaching, but speaking the oracles of God into everyday life. Into everyday life. So what's going on? We help people to understand, both believers and unbelievers, both fellow believers and those who don't know the Lord. Our job, if we want to live in a way that glorifies our Lord Jesus Christ, is to communicate this word to people. Speak the truth in love. And each of us is called to do that. We are to praise and talk about what God is doing through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in making all things new, in making us new through our daily lives and through the experiences we go through. Think about it this way. We are the only people in this world who can speak the very good news message of God to others. We're the only ones who have received it and who know it and who understand it, not just from a distance, but because it's changed our lives. The gospel word. God works through his word, his gospel word, his gospel message going out in this world. Think about it. That's how God recreates things, right? Jesus is making all things new. How does he do it? He speaks words, and things happen, and things change. It's how God created the world in Genesis, right? God spoke, "Let there be light." And what happened? There was light. Because he alone is the creator who can make something out of nothing. Jesus alone is the recreator, making all things new, who can speak into the hearts of your neighbors and mine a word, and they will go from being spiritually dead to being spiritually alive. Not because you and I did a great presentation, but because we were faithful in communicating the words of God to people, and it's the power is in the word. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the Apostle Paul says. He means the gospel message, the word of God. I'm not ashamed of that, for it is the power of God for salvation. So we get the privilege of speaking God's words into other people's lives. And we just need to be faithful to that. We just need to unleash the word of God and let it do its work in people's lives, both believers and unbelievers, because we're still being changed into the image of Christ as well. So our Lord Jesus Christ creates and he recreates. And again, our job is to unleash that word. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17. I want you to turn there with me real quick if you have your Bibles. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 talks about the word of God and how the word of God works in your life, in mine, in other people's lives. And I want you to notice that it's in the context of The Apostle Paul instructing Timothy that there's going to be godlessness in the last days. Understand this. In the last days, this is verse chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. There will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Well, how do you live in that kind of a world? What's going to help? Go down to verse 16 and 17. All Scripture is breathed out by God. It's God's very words, and profitable for teaching. Teaching who? People who are lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive. Teaching for reproof, correcting, for correction, and for training people in righteousness, to helping those who are believers to grow up in Christ. That, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So part of the good works that we're called to do as Jesus' church, is to unleash the word of God into people's lives. The Lord God, Jesus Christ, has people in your life and mine that he wants us to unleash that word into it. Think about this. How many people are you and I going to come across next week alone? At work, in your neighborhood, wherever. Quite a few probably for most of us. How many of them need to hear a word from the Lord? Every single one. Including me, including you. We have been given the privilege of being able to speak the oracles of God into other people's lives. How many people that you come across this next week are going to be living on bread alone and not on every word that comes from the mouth of God? Probably the majority. Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And we get to be his mouthpieces into other people's lives. Glorifying God means opening our mouth as his worshiping witnesses, singing the praises of our great God and Savior, and ministering the truth to them in love. So what kind of message do they need to hear? Do they need to hear your opinions on the shooting in Oregon? They don't need to hear my opinion or your opinion. They need to hear truth from God, truth that can set them free. If you want to know where I automatically turn when those things happen, it's Luke 13. Luke 13. Because you get God's perspective on tragedies. Jesus' perspective on tragedies. There were some present at that very time who told him, Luke 13 verse 1, about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He killed these Galileans. And he answered them, do you think, in the temple, and he answered them, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. Basically saying, everybody's a sinner. Everybody has an issue. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. The reality of what's going on in this world is that people are perishing and going into a Christless eternity where anything that could happen to them in this world, it'll be way worse under the wrath and condemnation of a holy God who they've offended with their whole life. So these things provide opportunities for us to declare the gospel to people, to speak the truth in love. That's the reality. That's what we're called to do, and that's who we're called to be as the church. So, secondly, how do we in everything glorify God through Jesus Christ? By serving God's kingdom purpose of love. That's when he talks about being a servant. Back in 1 Peter 4, verse 11. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Not only are we called in these last days to speak the truth, but also to display the truth of the gospel of grace in Christ. Again, all true believers in Christ Jesus have been given a gift which they need to use to proclaim the gospel and to serve others in the name of love and to minister the gospel of grace into the lives of others. That's what Peter's saying, just using broad categories, speaking and serving. And he's saying, all of us have spiritual gifts in Christ that will help us to be effective at speaking the gospel into people's lives and with serving Jesus' cause, kingdom cause of love, and ministering his love and grace into the lives of others, serving them rather than living to serve ourselves in this world. Again, all true believers have those gifts, and we bow and serve people and things that we worship or think will benefit our lives. Everybody lives that way. Only Christ Jesus can make us right with God, redeem sinners, and make us and all things in this sinful, death-filled world alive to God again, recreated in Christ Jesus, not only now but forever. So we need to live and serve others in such a way, utilizing our spiritual gifts, that they don't give glory to us but to the Lord Jesus Christ. How does that work? We need to refocus our lives in this self-centered world. We need to refocus it, I've found for myself, every single day to gladly serving our Lord Jesus Christ and serving others by ministering his love to them with our lives. The great commandment, we want to be a great commandment people. And Jesus said the whole law and the prophets are summed up in love God, love others. Love God, love others. That's how we serve. How you serve God is you love God. Instead of the things of this world, you love him and you worship and serve him. How you love other peoples in the name of Christ is you are willing to put aside your own stuff to serve yourself and advance yourself in this world, and you serve them with the same love that Jesus has given to you. You give to others, both brothers and sisters in Christ and those who don't know Christ and are far away from him. We're called to love, and we serve them with love. So love God, love others, period. This sums up God's commands to us as his people. John says that we have seen his glory of Jesus. This is John 1. John is testifying about who Jesus is. We have seen his glory, glory of the one and only Son from the Father. And Jesus was, what's his glory? He's full of grace and truth. Two things. That's how John summarized the whole life of Jesus Christ and his glory. He's full of grace, undeserved favor, mercy poured out to the guilty. That's what characterized Jesus' life. And he was full of truth. Truth from God that could set people free from sin and death and slavery to self-centeredness and bring them back to God. And now he gives us that same ministry of reconciliation. And that's what Peter's talking about to us this morning. So why serve in the strength that God supplies? Number one, I've been a believer, I've been a follower of Christ for 35 years. I see more of my own self-centeredness every day now than I did back then. That still needs to be put to death. So I need Jesus' power and Jesus' grace and Jesus' mercy to help me to live in a way that I'm not living to love myself. I'm living really to love him and to love others in his name. I've got to be attached to Jesus and be walking in the Holy Spirit, or that the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. All those other words, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, it's fruit, singular, of the Spirit, is love. All those other things just describe how you show love to other people. There's only one fruit of the Spirit, it's love. It's love. But you need the Spirit because it's his fruit. And so if I've tried to do this life on my own, showing that I'm a good person and that I should earn something with God, then I don't understand who I am, number one, without Christ. And I also don't understand my need for his grace and his mercy and his Holy Spirit to be working in my life every single day. And without him, I can do nothing. Jesus says, apart from abiding in me and my word abiding in you and my love abiding in you, you can do nothing of eternal good in this world. So, love comes from the Lord. God is love, and he has to pour that into us so that we can minister it out to others in our lives. All right. And then the last thing, he just kind of sums it up by saying, again, how we glorify how God is glorified through Jesus Christ in our everyday lives is by living gladly submissive lives under his sovereign glory and for his kingdom reign right now. So that's the last verse, the end of verse 11. So he says, speak as one who speaks the oracle of God, serve as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him, Jesus Christ, belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So Peter's saying we need to be a people. If we want to live in this world in a way that makes a difference for eternity, we got to speak the words of God to other people, into other people's lives, and we got to hear them ourselves and speak them into other people's lives, and we need to be servants of others in the name of Jesus, ministering his love and the grace that he's already bestowed upon us. We minister that out, and we show that we've been changed from the inside out by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what gives people hope in this world of darkness and death and tragedy. And then we live in our everyday lives gladly submissive under his sovereign glory and his kingdom reign in our lives, in our life as a church, every single day. And we do it with, I put that word gladly in there on purpose. If you live, John Piper's used this illustration 1,000 times. If I, on my anniversary, our anniversary is coming up January 5th, our 31st anniversary, and I come home and I say, and I bring some flowers and I surprise my wife, I ring the doorbell and she comes, and, hey, here's some flowers. And she goes, oh, thank you, honey. Why would you do such a thing? And I say, because it's my duty as a husband to do that. I'm going to get slapped in the face, right? If you do that to God, it's the same thing. What should I have said there? It's my joy. It makes me glad to give you flowers on our anniversary because you, I love you deeply, and I love bestowing kindness upon you. And so it's the same way where we glorify God. We do it gladly because we know how great he is and how kind he is and how full of grace and how full of truth he is. And our lives have never been the same because Jesus is the treasure. The apostle, Jesus says himself, he tells a parable in Matthew 13, 44. He says, the kingdom of God is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man comes up on, finds the treasure, rehides it in the field, goes and sells everything he has in order to have that treasure. The treasure hidden in the field is Jesus Christ himself. He's the treasure. Knowing him, fellowshipping with him, delighting in him is worth giving up anything in this world to have him. The chief end of man is to glorify God by enjoying him, enjoying your fellowship with him forever. That's what it is. That's what people need to see. They need to see him and how much joy we have living with him at the center of our lives. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for Jesus. He is our life, our breath, our everything. His grace is absolutely unbelievable, and we get to live in his grace that he purchased for us with his life and his death every single moment of every single day of our lives, not because of anything we ever do or don't do, but only because of what Jesus has done and continues to do. That's the gospel. Our souls will find their satisfaction only in Jesus. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and you will find rest. Take my yoke upon you. That means we have to submit to him as Lord, as God. Take my yoke upon you, for it is, my yoke is easy and the burden is light. And in having me as your God, you will find rest for your souls. You will find satisfaction and joy that you've been looking for in everything else in this world, this sinful, sick world. You'll find it all in Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. And Lord, I pray that you would help me and help these people who I love who know you, and people who maybe are hearing me right now and don't know you yet, Jesus, as this glorious Savior, full of grace and full of truth, that loves to redeem people and bring them back to God. I pray, Lord, that our lives would be lift in fellowship with you each and every day, and that you would regenerate and change somebody who doesn't know you in this room right now and bring them back to God. And may they know the joy and satisfaction of knowing you, Lord Jesus, who is eternal life. And it's in your name I pray. Amen.